Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, uupinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Delighted because joining us this week is the Chancellor of the State University of New York. His name is John King. Of course, the State University of New York is the largest comprehensive system of public higher education in the U.S. Chancellor John King, welcome back to the Capital Connection. So great to have you.
Great to talk with you.
I can start it with a very open-ended question. As I would tell my students at University at Albany, when you're in journalism, open-ended questions are the best. So here's an open-ended question for you, SUNY Chancellor King. Tell us about the state of higher education right now in New York.
I'm very pleased to be able to say that SUNY is on the move. We've got a lot of great things happening. Governor Hochul has been so supportive, along with the legislature. We've seen enrollment increases in each of the last 3 years for the first time in about 15 years. We have real research excellence across our system, battery technology at Binghamton, semiconductor industry research at UAlbany and SUNY Poly, artificial intelligence research at Buffalo, quantum research at Stony Brook, really helping to grow the state's economy through our research excellence and providing great affordable opportunities to students. We've been able to keep our tuition frozen. Our tuition at our four-year campuses is just $7,070 for the year, which is extraordinary. And we continue to just communicate the message that there is a place for every New Yorker at SUNY.
There's so much to pick up from what you've just said. Let's start with the governor of New York. You say you're pleased with the support for SUNY particularly. What did happen in this last round of budget negotiations? What was SUNY given and what is it being used for?
Yeah, some great investments in the most recent budget. Continuing operating support for our campuses, which is crucial, helps us to cover the cost of well-deserved raises for our faculty, for example. Significant investment in student success programs. The SUNY Reconnect program, which provides free tuition, fees, books, and supplies for adults 25 to 55 in high-demand fields. At our community colleges, we're very excited about that effort. Our ASAP and ACE wraparound support programs for low-income students to help ensure that they not only start college but finish successfully. And then significant capital investments, which is really important. With 64 campuses, we've got a lot of buildings. A lot of them were built in the 60s and 70s. We've got about a $10 billion critical maintenance backlog across the system. So it was really important that this year the governor and the legislature significantly increased our capital allocation over past years. Certainly a lot more to do, but that was very encouraging.
Where does the $400,000 of state budget investment to the New York City region come in here?
There's significant investment in the City University of New York, of course, which is our sort of peer network of campuses. And then we have four campuses in New York City, the IT, the Fashion Institute. We've got our SUNY Maritime campus, where students are preparing for careers in commercial shipping and Coast Guard and the Navy, a really strong engineering program. We've got SUNY Downstate Medical, which produces a huge number of doctors who will stay in New York City and New York State. And then SUNY Optometry, where we train all the newly licensed optometrists in the state who are trained here in New York. Those institutions are really important to the city and important to our SUNY community of institutions.
So beyond New York, you have the federal government and the issue of how they're treating higher education, which seems to be impacting many colleges and universities across the country, including the issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I know that you've had a number of workshops to deal with things like FAFSA, the forms that need to be filled out to unlock financial aid. Can you talk a little bit about the federal government and SUNY?
Sure. Look, I had the privilege of serving as United States Secretary of Education for President Obama. So I'd start by saying I'm very distressed by the current administration and their approach to education. Really heartbroken about the assault on the U.S. Education Department, which I think is ultimately bad for students and bad for the country. The department has a very important role to play in civil rights protection and ensuring the good functioning of the financial aid system, getting resources to high-needs students. So very worried about that. For us at SUNY, there are a couple things that are very worrisome. The administration has really slowed the award of grants for research, and that's a huge problem. Federal investments in research drive advancements in technology, in healthcare. You know, that if somebody who's listening has a family member who's in the hospital right now, the treatment they're getting was probably the result of research done at a higher ed institution in the United States. This is very worrisome. Congress has rightly pushed back. Congress actually increased funding for research, even though the administration had proposed huge cuts. But the agencies, like the National Science Foundation, are slow walking the award of grants. That's a real problem and a real frustration. There also has been this attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is very problematic, especially for us in New York. Diversity is a part of who we are as New Yorkers. It's very much a part of our tradition at SUNY to make sure we're reaching out to all New Yorkers in every community. And so we've been troubled by that. And we've had some grants that were canceled because the word diversity happened to be mentioned in the grant application, which is very troubling.
We're speaking with the Chancellor of the State University of New York, John King. I'm David Gustina, and you're listening to the Capital Connection. I'll say it's disturbing, all right. Yeah, and then you lost this money because of, I'll put, these are my words, a word search. And can you make that up? Are there ways to make that up? In other words, you lose the grant, can you go anywhere else? Or is this just lost money at this point?
It's lost money at this point, frankly. The federal government plays such a huge role in the research space. We certainly are working to get philanthropic support and support from industry, as well as state dollars. But at the end of the day, the federal footprint in research is so large, none of those other sources are going to make up for it. So when you have these grants that are cut arbitrarily, it's a huge problem. And I want to give credit to Attorney General Tish James, who's been a great partner and has helped us win some of those grants back because the process used to cancel them was against the law. But it's really so short-sighted on the part of the administration. So much of our nation's economic success is built on great research happening on our higher ed campuses. It's going to undermine our long-term competitiveness if we don't continue the tradition of strong research on our higher ed campuses.
Does it lend to the arguments or the analysis that when you have public institutions, and I'll throw in public broadcasting, we lost all our money because of what happened on the federal level, but even on the state level, when you're wrapped up in politics, are you at the whim of whoever's in power?
Sadly, it feels that way, although I will say, in previous administrations, these were viewed as bipartisan investments. Mitch McConnell, who was a longtime Republican leader in the Senate, was a huge champion of investments in NIH, the funder of healthcare research. So this wasn't seen as something that could just switch on a dime based on who won an election. So this is a very troubling departure from what has been an American tradition of investment in research.
Let's talk about your travels. You recently wrapped up the first SUNY Reconnect tour. You visited all 29 participating SUNY community colleges that have free programs for adult students in high demand fields. That's one of the things that often gets overlooked is the community colleges, and they do great work. Tell us more.
Yeah, this SUNY Reconnect is an incredible program. It provides free tuition, fees, books, and supplies in areas where we need a workforce in New York. Healthcare, advanced manufacturing, green jobs and renewable energy, cybersecurity, and the governor just expanded the program in this most recent budget to include air traffic control, which we all know we desperately need, logistics, emergency management. So these are great opportunities for folks to come to a community college, get a two-year degree, and change their economic position. Folks with a nursing degree can make 80, 90, even more 80,000, 90,000, even more. So this can help not only them, but their children, and really make a generational difference in families. It's been wonderful visiting the campuses because you hear folks' stories, folks who maybe they were driving for Uber or they were working in a fast food restaurant, really disappointed about their career, uncertain how to proceed. And then they heard about SUNY Reconnect, and now they're on a campus getting a cybersecurity degree, and they've got multiple job offers before they even graduate.
And that's really what so many students are looking for. Many, and this is my own experience, many students want to go to college, but they want to have the skills when they come out to get a job, as opposed to go on and teach, as some people will do. So really, the majority here are looking for an education that they can count on will make a smooth transition into the workforce. Am I right about that?
You're exactly right. And one of the great things about Reconnect is not only the enthusiasm of prospective students, but the enthusiasm of employers. I was recently at Corning Community College, where they have a partnership with Corning Inc. and the labor unions at Corning Inc. So they've adjusted the course schedule to match the shift schedule at Corning.
Wow.
And folks are getting an education that's going to allow them to move up in their job. It's really giving them career advancement and economic mobility.
That's really a smart thing to do, isn't it? These pragmatic solutions. How do we match the community with what's happening at the university or community college or wherever the education is taking place?
That's exactly right. I think about in the Capital Region, the partnership between Hudson Valley Community
yeah.
College and Global Foundries. And the Global Foundries CEO will tell you, Hudson Valley is a key partner in their workforce development strategy.
Let's talk about community service for a moment and the expanding of SUNY Service Corps program for students. It's a paid civic engagement program, but it really gets people out there into the community, into community service, and now it's expanding. Tell us more.
Yeah, the Empire State Service Corps is a wonderful program. We started with 500 students, but we had more than 2,000 applications. So the governor agreed to double the program. So this fall, we'll have 1,000 students. They are tutoring in K-12 schools. They are working on food and housing insecurity issues on campus and in the community. They're serving as peer mental health counselors. They're working on sustainability and environmental issues in the local community. And it's really transformative for the students. They get to learn a new set of skills. They get to work alongside people who are different from them. They get to develop themselves as leaders. And they're also paid for 300 hours of that public service work, which means these opportunities aren't just available to affluent students. They're available to all students. And then we have a summer service corps as well. So I was just with our summer service corps students. And again, it's life-changing for them and contributing to the community at the same time.
He is John King, the Chancellor of the State University of New York, joining us on the Capital Connection. I'm David Gustina. What about free speech on campus? That's been an issue, but even more so during the current administration in the White House. We saw a blow up on college campuses during the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which continues in many ways, of course. But the idea of maintaining free speech on our campuses while also maintaining, as many criticized, safety of students to say what they want to say.
Yeah, and you've got to strike that right balance. And we've been very clear. We want to have an environment on our campuses where free speech is embraced, where folks can express their views. But at the same time, you can't block your classmates' path to the library. You can't yell through a megaphone outside their window at 2 a.m. And so you've got to have reasonable rules around how we conduct ourselves on campuses. We also think civil discourse is really important. And we actually are changing our general education requirements to require, starting this fall, every SUNY undergraduate to have coursework experiences that develop civil discourse skills and civic participation skills. We want students to be able to disagree agreeably, to not only listen to the other person's argument, waiting for your turn to argue back, but actually to try to understand and appreciate their thinking and what's going into their argument. And we are doing a bunch of faculty development to support that work, led by some of our faculty who have spent their careers really focused on civil discourse. And we're excited about that work because we think that's part of the mission of higher education, to prepare the next generation of citizens to move our democracy forward.
I so agree with that, SUNY Chancellor King, because in my course in broadcasting, I'll often send students out to cover issues. And there are often groups on campus that are talking about issues that the students either really agree with or really don't agree with. And I can think of one group that was religious in nature that one of the students, why do we have to have these groups on campus? And I said, because the real world is the real world is the real world. We don't want to shelter you so much on a college campus that you walk out into the real world and go say, hey, what's this? Protesting is the right of every American, and these real world experiences should be experienced on a college campus.
That's exactly right. And I worry that the administration, in their approach, really favors particular views. You see this attack on the teaching of the truth about our history, this attack on the Smithsonian because of not wanting to tell the story of the institution of slavery or the history in this country of periods of hostility toward immigrant communities. And we have the view that we are preparing citizens. They need to be exposed to diverse ideas. They need to be exposed to hard truths about our history as a country, and that actually will be stronger for it.
We agree there as well. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of things that I think are also important on our campuses, our higher education facilities, and that's helping students in the areas of food insecurity, number one, which may be hard for many to believe, but college students fall into that group of many who are food insecure. They're hungry. And then, of course, what's been a growing issue and something that students have called for is more mental health services on campus.
Yeah, we're fortunate that because of the investments that Governor Hochul and the legislature have made, we've been able to really focus in these areas of basic needs and security for our students. We've got food pantries on every campus. Those food pantries are providing not only dried goods, but fresh foods. They're able to, in many cases, provide hygiene products as well. Because we have a significant number of low-income students or students who are going through crises in their personal lives, and they need those things in order to be able to focus on their studies. And we continue to invest in those food pantries. We also have an initiative to help students who are eligible for SNAP benefits, the Federal Food Assistance Program, complete their application and take advantage of those services. We've also been able to make significant investments in expanding mental health services at our four-year institutions as well as our community colleges. Over the last 3.5 years, as I've been here, we've been able to reduce the wait times to see a counselor. We've also invested in campus-level mental health supports like mental health first aid so that faculty and staff are able to recognize signs of people in crisis and get them the support they need. So we're very focused in these areas. It's challenging because technology has had a very pernicious effect on student well-being. We still see the lingering effects of the COVID crisis. Students who missed a year or more of social interaction, and that has a lingering effect, but we're working hard to create campus communities where students can really thrive.
The other part of this that I noticed, and I just have to ask you if this is the case on the four-year college campuses or even larger, I noticed on SUNY Albany's campus, they now have free legal services. So if you are having a major issue in your life and you're needing legal support, the campus offers that as well.
Yeah, not every campus has that infrastructure, but a number do, and certainly University at Buffalo, where we have UB Law School, they have a number of law clinics that are able to support folks as they navigate crises around things like housing. I think universities have a responsibility to try to help students navigate the challenges in their lives so they can focus on academic success. And we certainly at SUNY are very focused on making sure that the students who begin a degree program with us finish that degree or credential and succeed in the economy. And to do that means you've got to have wraparound supports.
Perhaps the biggest issue on the horizon, AI, artificial intelligence. Now, we know that the experts say we're waiting on something called AGI, that's artificial general intelligence, but it's got to impact all education, including higher education, just by the mere dint of the fact that AI is like having a university in your pocket.
We're trying to ensure that AI is used to advance the public good. Governor Hochul has an initiative that's resulted in more than $500 million public-private investment at University at Buffalo in computing power that then is accessed by researchers at University at Buffalo, UAlbany, Stony Brook, Binghamton, as well as a number of the private institutions in the state, Cornell, NYU, others. And the idea is we don't want our faculty to be dependent just on Google and Meta for access to computing power. We're creating a sort of public option in computing power so that they can do research on things that don't necessarily drive a profit, but will improve people's lives. New advances in the treatment of disease, strategies for mitigating the consequences of climate change, new approaches to protecting children from threats online and identifying problematic patterns in social media or the use of deepfakes. We're really proud of that research work. And then, of course, we're adjusting our teaching and learning. I think in the next decade, you're going to see more blue books than you saw in the last decade, where folks are doing writing in class, so you know that it is their work. But you're also seeing creative uses of AI to prepare students for the future AI workforce. I think about our SUNY Delhi campus, where we have a class on the economics of sports, and they had a project just before March Madness where students were asked to predict which coaches would be fired after the March Madness tournament was over, and then they asked several of the AI tools to make similar predictions and then compare the accuracy of the predictions from AI to the predictions that the students made. It was a great way for students to better understand AI tools and also to be prepared for a future workforce where they will need to use AI as a tool.
Yeah, we are on the cusp of something so amazing, really, it seems like, when it comes to artificial intelligence, and that includes the good with the bad. We're speaking with SUNY Chancellor John King. You're listening to the Capital Connection. One of the things that students are excited about, especially when they're in college, is the possibility to do a semester overseas or a semester in some other country. And we've had in this country, obviously, an immigration policy that has scared many people, including people who would normally continue their education in the United States. I know at least in one case where a student decided not to continue here because of what was happening with immigration. But that relationship that SUNY has with other universities around the world and with students who come from around the world to its institutions. Can you comment on that for a minute?
Yeah, engagement with international communities is central to helping prepare students for a globally connected economy. And we are committed to that work. We certainly have students who study abroad, and we have a significant number of international students at SUNY. Unfortunately, under the current administration in Washington, we've seen a decline in international enrollment. That was very disappointing for us because we think international students enhance the educational experience of all students, and many of those international students will come and contribute to the American economy. If you go to Silicon Valley, many of the senior executives and leaders at the key companies that are driving our economy forward actually first came to the U.S. as international students. So I think it's very short-sighted what the current administration in Washington is doing to restrict international enrollment and to send a hostile message to international students. But in New York, we're committed to serving those students, and we're going to keep working to attract and retain international students.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Our guest has been SUNY Chancellor John King. And I can't tell you how important it is to hear from the Chancellor of the State University of New York, and the fact that you give us some time is much appreciated. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for all you do with your students at UAlbany.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.